What does the report reveal? Describe the scope of the problem we're talking about here.
Yeah, to give some context to the problem, there is actually no accurate total dollar number yet as far as how big the federal backlog is. But federal agencies have identified billions of dollars in reinvestment requirements to maintain their aging facilities and bring them up to current codes, such as the Americans with Disability Act, Fire and Life Safety Codes, and Energy Codes. And it's in addition, as you mentioned, the federal government is the nation's largest energy user, and the Department of Energy estimates that agencies are going to need an additional $1 billion annually over the next 6 years just to meet congressional energy mandates that are already in place.
So you mentioned the Americans with Disabilities Act and fire codes and stuff. Those aren't things that have just been passed recently. These are things that have been around a while.
That's correct.
And I was actually reading the report earlier today, and you actually have an interesting chart that goes through the types of energy use that most federal buildings use. Overwhelmingly, the largest part is electricity, right?
That's correct, and probably about half of that comes from coal-fired plants.
And so the goal coming out of the stimulus package is to move to more, and I know, and in fact, we're working to get the folks from GSA, because they have this big solar array out in Denver that actually supplies energy to almost all the federal buildings in Denver. Are those the kinds of things that you see as coming out of this kind of stimulus package?
I think there's a lot of projects that are on the shelf ready to go. One of the things that agencies have been doing is energy audits. You know, have someone go through their buildings with a fine-tooth comb looking for opportunities to cut costs and save energy. I mean, for example, if your listeners looked up in their office ceiling right now and they saw those old 2-foot by 4-foot fluorescent light fixtures,
right. Mm-hmm.
And the bulbs are like 1.5 inches in diameter or so, if that's what you see when you look up, we could probably save 30 to 40% in your office just on electricity use by changing to the newer technology that's readily available.
You caused both of us to look up.
Yeah.
and we have those fluorescent lights. So,
but when you're talking about aging federal buildings, how old is old? 30, 40, older?
We haven't done work to be very exact here, but it's safe to say that a large proportion of the federal buildings are now over 50 years old.
Wow. So, older buildings tend to need more work, both in terms of maintenance, upkeep, but also getting up to some of the codes you talked about, some of which were passed certainly within that time, right?
No, that's correct. Some people say that you need probably, say, 2% that you should be reinvesting in your building each year to keep it up to standards.
And we've also heard about efforts, particularly by GSA, trying to tackle the problems like cost-efficient lighting, like you pointed out. What more can be done? Are they doing a good job? Can you tell us, sort of give them a grade?
We're still looking at that issue, and we'll be over the next year. We'll be reporting to Congress next October about GSA's progress.
Okay.
The one thing that they have done recently is to create the Office of High Performance Green Buildings, which is a great step. They're looking at energy efficient lighting and what they can do there. They're doing the energy audits we talked about a minute ago. They're looking at geothermal heat pumps, which are a great energy saving item also.
And this is mostly a GSA issue because they're basically the government's real estate owner.
Landlord.
Right. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. And so this is mostly in their responsibility to be overseeing and moving these issues along?
For most of the federal civilians, that would be true. Of course,
right.
The DOD has their own similar problems and issues, and they're much larger, actually, than GSA.
And you did talk about in the report and in your testimony, GSA has been working and seeking to address a lot of these issues. A lot of it just takes time, and it's a resource issue in part, right?
Absolutely. The biggest issue out there is funding. It's not technology.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because while there is a cost savings along, there has to be an outlay of money at the very beginning. I know it's an investment, but money's tight for everybody right now.
Absolutely. For example, like we said before, that Department of Energy estimates they're going to need $1 billion a year just to comply with the standards that are in place just for energy. And in 2007, the upfront appropriations available to agencies was just a little bit over $300 million, a third of that. Agencies have been using energy savings performance contracts to the tune of another $300 million or so. But there's still a lot of opportunity. And upfront funding, rather than essentially leasing equipment through these contracts, is a much more cost-effective way to go.
The report also details out GAO's guiding principles that can sort of help agencies, that can be a what you call a framework for infrastructure investment decisions. Talk a little bit about what those guiding principles are.
Those guiding principles, you know, you need to align your projects with goals. That's probably one of the most important things with energy projects.
Right. What are you trying to accomplish?
Exactly. What are you trying to accomplish? And are the projects that you've lined up, do they go towards meeting those goals? There's lots of things out there that can be done. But in fact, if you sort of cherry pick the low hanging fruit, sometimes you can make the other projects less efficient down the road.
And do those incorporate a lot of your recommendations? Is that basically your recommendation, both in terms of doing audits and run through some of what you're recommending to GSA and other agencies?
One of the things that concerns us with the large outlays of money that are possible if the Senate passes our plan and it's signed by the president is we're going to be spending over $500 billion in the very near future.
A lot of money,
and a lot of it is going to be spent in federal buildings and on energy. Those are great things. Those are projects that will actually pay themselves back over years. But we need to, with that much money trying to be spent that quickly, of course, the need for oversight and for just some caution is also necessary.
Is there any particular agency that is a sort of a model that others can look for? We can say, okay, they're the folks who we should all be following.
Besides GAO, you mean?
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Well, see how we set it up for you.
We like doing those softballs. So.
Oh, absolutely.
But GAO has been focused on a lot of these issues, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. They've identified probably $10 million in energy projects that we could do, including solar power on the roof, storm windows on our windows. Many of the federal buildings down here are still single pane windows, and because of the historic nature, you don't want to do something that would change the outward appearance.
So let's talk a bit about response from the agencies. Is everybody on board? What sort of response did you get from your report?
The agencies that we talked to, they agree that with the things that need to be done, the energy audits, the plans, the agencies that we've talked to are confident that they've got projects in place, and they are working towards meeting the goals of the Energy Independence and Security Act.
And do agencies have all the people they need to implement these things as well? Because oftentimes they may want to accomplish it, but they don't have the right people in the right places to accomplish what they actually want to accomplish.
That's certainly a challenge. The one of the things that the act I just mentioned requires is the federal agencies are going to have to start putting energy managers out at each of the large buildings. So that's one thing. The second, I mentioned earlier, the energy savings contracts. What that involves is contracting with a outside private developer, for example, or a public utility to do improvements in your building. But then you've got to monitor that and make sure that you're actually getting the savings over the years. So and monitoring that for a long time. And these are pretty complex procurements. So not only do we need people who know something about energy, we need specialized procurement people. And we need someone who can go out and do the audits and just make sure that we're doing the right things every day.